Hello and welcome to Policy Matters, the podcast from Taito where we explore the intersection between policy and communications and the evolving role of media in shaping global tech policy. This series helps PR and communication leaders at tech companies understand how to engage with the media, build meaningful relationships, and craft stories that drive impact in a complex European and global political landscape.
In today's episode, we're joined by Ben Lyons, Senior Director of Policy and Public Affairs for Darktrace. Prior to his current role, Ben worked in policy communications for Virgin Media and held a number of positions in the UK government's Centre for Data Ethics and Innovation, including 3 years as that unit's Head of External Affairs. Ben, welcome to the show.
Hello, great to be here.
So Ben, Darktrace is very much a British tech success story. You pioneer the use of AI in cybersecurity. You're a trusted partner for businesses, public sector organisations. It's actually quite a nice segue, I suppose, into how this landscape is changing a bit. And a big picture question to start today's discussion, which is, why can tech companies no longer afford to stay silent on issues of public policy and regulation?
Look, I mean, I think in short, it's because policy hugely affects the environment in which tech companies operate in, and companies both have a need and a responsibility to be part of that conversation. So if we want technology to be understood, to be trusted, and to be used responsibly, then companies are going to need to be part of that, offering evidence, their expertise, and their solutions. I do think it's interesting also just to think about how this has changed, because, you know, if you think a few years back, there was a real temptation for tech to ignore government and for government to ignore tech. I think in some ways this was a product of US geography. So Silicon Valley is just a long way from Washington, DC. And it kind of felt, I think, understandable in a world where tech felt pretty peripheral to a lot of the big policy debates that were going on. But that really is a far cry from where we are right now. You know, so tech is really at the core of pretty much every big societal debate, whether it's geopolitics and national security, whether it's pretty fundamental questions about the future of our economy, whether it's political questions about democracy and free speech. And then obviously it's also building the platforms on which these debates are actually occurring themselves. So I think governments are starting to recognize just how important tech is, whether it's explicitly or implicitly, and they're responding to that in new regulations, in major investments, trade policy, you name it. And it's really important for tech companies to have a seat at the table.
And Ben, that's really interesting that you talk about just that importance of the seat at the table. I mean, can staying silent when it comes to tech policy and regulation almost shrink your permission to play when it comes to these policy debates?
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, I think if you are in the public conversation and you are essentially not taking a public view on issues which affect you, then you're not going to get prioritized in debates. You know, governments may not really necessarily realize you've got a stake in an issue. So I think the ability to clearly and you know, evidence-based way set out what you see as the issues is really important to be able to also have that deeper dialogue with government, as well as the dialogue that will occur through the media.
Yeah, and we're in this sort of landscape at the moment of citizen activism. So you talk a lot about how the policy landscape changes. I think the way that citizens interact with governments is also changing. Is it fair to say there's quite a lot of pressure on businesses from customers, partners and investors to take a stance on some of these big policy discussions? And how does that impact the way that you craft a policy narrative?
I mean, I think things have probably evolved on that a little bit over the last few years. I would say maybe about 5 years ago or more, there was probably more of a sense of kind of customer of companies feeling a need to take a stand on a lot of political issues. And I think that perhaps There's been a reassessment in a range of businesses to focus perhaps more on those issues which are really at the core of what the fundamentals of the business are about. And look, I mean, I think it depends a lot on an issue by issue basis and on the sector the business is in. So, you know, we work in cybersecurity and using AI for cyber, and so you know, we serve predominantly enterprises and public sector organizations. It might be different if we were more of a consumer facing business, but I think, you know, for us there is a need to ensure that we are operating responsibly and considering society at large, but feeling more, you know, more questions from our, you know, from a customer base, which are enterprises rather than consumers.
So for a company like Darktrace and other tech companies with more of a B2B focus, it is more genuinely about showing responsibility, engaging with the policy as it evolves, as opposed to kind of perhaps more of a consumer reputation and kind of building a positive image more publicly.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I think we want to do the right thing, and we want to, you know, and it's important to us to have a strong reputation as a business. But you know, it starts from being a business that is trying to operate responsibly in the markets that we're serving. So, you know, we do a range of activity from supporting skills in the future of cyber and AI to you know, partnering with governments in some of the markets that we serve to build cyber resilience.
Where should a company start with that journey? You know, if they want to become more visible on policy, where should they start with considering who are their real audiences they're trying to reach there?
I mean, I think it depends on the issues and on the issues that matter to them.
The broad question, right?
yeah, you know, but you know, so I think it's got to start with the business strategy and the policy issues which most affect the business. There are some, you know, tech policy issues which are real hot button issues which get on the front pages of newspapers. There's quite a lot which are in the background of, you know, of little parts of gov.uk and requests for information which don't necessarily get into the public eye that much. And so there's, you know, there can be a question for people in tech policy roles around, you know, whether they want to make a debate which might not be a particularly high profile debate a more salient one and to kind of amplify it or not. But you know, that would depend quite a bit on a kind of case by case basis.
And it's really interesting you mentioned the almost the differences between the front page news versus the buried in the small print news. I think it is fair to say that tech policy and regulation used to be a lot more niche than it is currently. There's been this transition, certainly over the past 5 years, into it being something that national newspapers do feel is front page news, which I think it probably wasn't about half a decade or so ago. How do those media narratives shape the regulatory environment in which we work in? And I suppose a follow on from that, how can comms teams like yours at Darktrace influence some of those narratives?
I mean, I think so, you know, we as a function operate around the world. And I think in the UK, there is a particular importance often to the media narratives on some of these issues. Because in Britain, often the decision makers will have less of a background in tech policy issues, just based on the way in which our system works. You know, so in the UK, a minister might not have much of a background in tech because they've been doing something else, you know, and they've been reshuffled into a tech position. Whereas, say, in the US, usually a cabinet level appointee will have had some background in that area. You know, in likewise in the civil service, you know, we've got a culture around people moving around department to department, whereas in a country like France, people would typically be in the relevant department for quite a chunk of their career. So I think what that means is that people will go looking to the media for their kind of first pass understanding of an issue in a way that might play less of a role in other democracies, where they would be bringing a whole bunch more thinking to or knowledge base to that issue. So I think, you know, that leads to a bit of a risk of oversimplified narratives. You know, a lot of these issues are technical, and the news cycle rewards simplicity. So there is, you know, can be a bit of a risk of policy questions being reduced to moral binaries about whether AI will save us or destroy us, or about whether tech is good or bad. And that can kind of harden some of the regulatory instincts before the underlying trade-offs are properly understood. And I think at its best, thoughtful comms can improve policy outcomes and not just, you know, the underlying reputation of the business. So I think comms teams can help to frame debates in a way that is accurate and accessible and grounded in evidence, which might mean using clear analogies or giving real world examples of how technologies are being used or showing in practice what good governance looks like. So I think kind of ultimately, if businesses can get the policy comms right, that means that it is ultimately in everyone's interest, because you can get to a more balanced level of understanding about issues, and it can become easier to get into some of the technical weeds of issues.
So what I'm hearing here is that policy comms, yes, there's an element of influence, but actually there's a real opportunity for businesses to become trusted partners, not just for the media who are looking to understand the story, but ultimately for some of these policymakers who may need a bit more of a background.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I mean, I think a big part of the job is playing that role of educating people who are making decisions, so that they understand at a kind of greater level of granularity, like what are the practicalities of delivering a policy they might want to deliver. What are the opportunities? What are the risks, in a way that is really hard to work out in a silo? And I think ultimately, there is also just like a limit to what can be done through legislation. Like it obviously plays a role, but it takes, you know, many years to get a bill through Parliament, and government both has a range of levers that can be used as well as legislation, but also like the way in which government, there is a need to ensure that government can move faster to respond to the speed at which technology is changing. And so that is going to require a close level of trusted engagement between companies, governments, and, you know, a whole range of other interested groups, like in civil society, think tanks, others, to bring evidence to bear.
I mean, there are just so many stories that are important in these decision-making processes. How do you decide which ones to join? What's correct to offer your opinion on to background brief people, and ultimately which ones should be let pass?
I mean, I think it starts from looking at what market you're in and what policy issues matter to you as a business and to you and to the kind of communities that you're serving. So for us, you know, we are a business that is operating at the intersection of AI and cybersecurity, and so we will take, you know, a particular interest in debates around the future of cybersecurity policy, around cyber regulation, around the future of AI, around how AI might be used in the real world, and how governments can can help to stimulate the growth of an adoption of AI in the economy safely. There will be another issues, there, you know, a whole bunch of other issues which might touch us, and on a kind of case by case basis, we'll have something to say to them. But I think it's important to be able to prioritize, and also, you know, I work in policy rather than comms, but, you know, for my comms colleagues, you know, to build those trusted relationships with media, and for media to know, well, we can speak to Darktrace about these issues, you know, these issues, and Darktrace is going to offer me expert insight and commentary, and being able to provide that point of distinction in a crowded market is also, you know, important on the comms side of things.
As is so often the case, media often frames technology as a risk first. That can obviously drive an organization like Darktrace, or, you know, any other company they're looking to engage with policy, into more of a reactive position. Do you think that's a good idea to kind of take a reactive position when you see media narratives framing technology as a risk, as a danger, as, you know, AI is going to take all of our jobs? And how much should you take a reactive position as opposed to be building a more of a constructive narrative over time?
Yeah, I mean, broadly, I think there's a risk with being overly reactive, because if you're only engaging at the point at which the debate has been framed, then you're effectively arguing inside someone else's narrative. And so that means that you start from a position of being seen to be defensive, self-interested, rather than, you know, as we were discussing earlier, a kind of partner in solving the problem. And there's a risk that it leads to more short-term tactical comms rather than earning that long-term trust and understanding with your stakeholders, whether they're in government, media, or wider society. I mean, one of the things that we've tried to do is looking at responsible AI in and the sector that we're operating in, is to try to kind of get into some detail about how AI is transforming cybersecurity, and then sharing more as a business about how we are helping to achieve responsible AI in cybersecurity. So going into explaining, not just setting out a set of principles, but actually explaining how as a business we deliver privacy, interpretability, security, accountancy, accuracy, these sorts of things, so that we are perhaps explaining before we start getting, you know, lots of questions about an issue, and helping our stakeholders to understand where we're coming from.
And when you're making that decision, you know, when you're considering how to respond to a story, to a media narrative that's gaining traction, how does that policy team and that comms team really work in partnership to make those kind of decisions, and whose recommendation do you go with?
Yeah, well, that's a really interesting question. I mean, I think that it's it requires really close collaboration, and there are, you know, there can be trade-offs between policy and comms teams. I think it's really helpful if you have a shared understanding of what the business is trying to achieve, because the risk is that you focus on outputs where there might be different incentives between the policy and the comms teams, where, you know, all things being equal, if you're in policy, you will probably want to have a good working relationship with a range of your government and policy stakeholders. And all things being equal, if you're working in comms, you'll want to be getting coverage and good coverage.
Yeah, the right kind of coverage. Absolutely.
But I think that there can be a risk of if you are focused more on kind of what is the business working towards, whether that is, you know, looking to a kind of advanced point of view on a particular policy issue, then that might mean that sometimes you take the media opportunity, even if that leads to, you know, making relationships with people in government slightly more challenging, or sometimes you pass on, even if it is a good opportunity to come across as a thought leader in your industry. So I think really having that clear shared understanding of what matters most to the business is important for working through those issues.
So you've talked about kind of a really clear sense on what the business objectives are, the importance of that close relationship between the policy team and the comms team. Are there any other really key things that companies should consider when they're building out their policy communications and policy advocacy strategies?
I think, you know, having a very clear set of objectives, an ability to really track policy advocacy against that underlying business strategy, and then being able to, you know, perhaps at a more operational level, like consider what are the actual milestones for different regulations and policies you might be tracking, ensuring that you're doing that across all the markets that you're operating, so you have visibility of what is coming down the line, where the particular milestones might be, and what is going to be driving coverage in the months and years ahead.
And we talked a lot about the strategy and the objectives. I wanted to sort of move to the actual message that we're crafting and making that really effective, because that's obviously a critical part of this whole project coming together. You obviously had several years working in government, which is very much the other side of the discussion around policy comms and influence. In your experience, what makes for a credible and persuasive message around policy when speaking to regulators or lawmakers?
I mean, I think it starts by recognizing that it's not necessarily about having the loudest message, but it's about having the most useful one. So regulators and policymakers are going to hear from a lot of people every day in a lot of competing narratives, and bringing evidence, bringing clarity, and being honest about trade-offs, I think, are all things which are important. So again, if you think about evidence, you know, when we're talking about AI and cyber defense, we will be focused on concrete evidence about how AI is being used today to augment human security teams, how AI-enabled approaches might differ from other approaches, sharing insights about how the cyber threat landscape is evolving. You know, these are all things which can be helpful to policymakers in terms of how they might think about a given issue. So recognizing that you've got practical experience that you can bring to bear is very useful. I think secondly, acknowledging those trade-offs, because I think you can quickly lose credibility if you pretend there are no downsides or complexities to the position that the company might favour, and being frank about explaining, well, here's what works, here's what's hard, and here's where we might need to kind of work together to work through some of the issues, is going to be going to lead to more constructive relationship. And then I think, you know, this goes for all comms, but I think really understanding your audience is important. So we've spoken quite a bit about starting from, you know, or being very rooted in business strategy. But I think you're going to struggle if you just say, well, this is what we're doing as a business, and just talk about your business. You need to start from the position of understanding what it is that government or a policymaker is trying to achieve with a with a policy, understand to what extent what you're doing is going to help them deliver that or not, or where there might be tension, but starting from that position of really understanding what it is that makes a policymaker tick, what's driving them, what are their what does good look like for them, and then you can often help them to deliver a policy. Or, you know, you can explain, well, actually, you know, here are some challenges with the policy, which mean that it may not work very effectively. But I think really understanding their goals is pretty essential.
And I think you're absolutely right. You've hit on one of the keys, sort of like nubs of developing great comms across lots of different sectors. It's understanding that audience. But I suppose in policy, as well as in other areas of comms, there are often lots of different audiences with lots of different objectives and ways of viewing things. So, you know, I'm thinking of policy, you've got public media, you've got regulators, you've got your own internal stakeholders, you've got the general sort of consumers if you are a B2C company. How do you tailor your message to those different audiences whilst also maintaining a consistent message that overarches above all of those when it comes to policy and tech?
You've got to be consistent at a high level. I think it starts by extending that piece of analysis to think through, well, what do these different stakeholders care about? You know, so if you think about what we're doing using AI for cybersecurity, there will be some stakeholders who care about that because we are helping to make the country and other countries safer and more secure. There is a national security element to it. There's a kind of AI innovation supporting, you know, great jobs, R&D side of things to it. There's a story around how does a business do this in a way that is responsible and sustainable, which is another part of the story. But I think it's got to ladder up to something core, which is about, you know, it's around how AI-powered cybersecurity can make the world a more secure place and realize the huge potential that that technology offers and cybersecurity offers in order to realize that potential of tech-enabled economic growth. So I think it's kind of looking at the different parts of your story and tailoring that to different audiences.
Yeah, you're talking about this and couching it in those sort of global terms. We're talking about making the world a better place and talking to different global audiences. Obviously, just to make things even trickier for a policy comms team, there are different regulatory frameworks depending on which audiences you're speaking to or which governments you're trying to have these discussions with. How does that create its own unique set of challenges for policy teams? And how do you almost balance that narrative across borders?
I mean, there's probably two parts to it. There is a like real operational need to make sure that you are tracking regulation as it develops in the markets that matter most, and being able to do that, have the foresight on how things are developing, is important. I think, you know, in practice, it means that, you know, that there will be certain things which make more sense in different markets than others, and which will end up talking about more. You know, so if you're in a you know, if you're talking about the nature of the cyber threat, you want to be providing examples which are, you know, examples which have been noticed and feel like real challenges in that country talking about the sort of industries and sectors which matter to that country's economy. And then, you know, from a kind of regulatory point of view, and often there is, you know, for us at least, there is a degree of continuity about you know the points that we're making, because what good cyber defense looks like is the same, you know, whether or not you're in the UK or the US or Australia. And so some of the underlying principles that, you know, we'll be talking about will be the same. The more complicated thing is, how do you actually practically translate that into the different regulatory environment and the kind of different sets of levers and tools that a country has, you know? So some countries will want to use, will find it easier to pass legislation, for example, some won't. And so the toolkit changes.
It's ultimately a little bit more complex, perhaps, but it's ultimately that same question of knowing your audience, isn't it?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
There's also another challenge between, you know, public companies and private companies in terms of obligations for reporting and compliance and how you approach those sorts of things. Obviously, Darktrace has experienced both sides of that, from going from a public company to a private company following your acquisition in 2024. How has that kind of change in your structure as a company influenced your approach to policy communications, or has it?
Well, I would say at a policy comms level, I don't think there's been a fundamental shift as a result of our change in ownership. I mean, I would say more broadly, like, there has been a shift over the last few years in terms of, you know, how we've approached policy comms. You know, we are you know, a more global business, you know, so looking across a whole range of markets and understanding and kind of commenting on policy issues, you know, from UK, EU, US, Australia, so that kind of need to, and in fact, of, you know, that an ability as well, you know, to be able to kind of provide commentary to media in a way that enables them to kind of have insight from a company that is looking at things in that global way, so able to kind of look at some of the continuities and differences can be a kind of helpful sort of insight. I think also just the debate that we're in has shifted a lot, as AI has become far more mainstreamed, as there is an increasing recognition of the power and potential of AI in cybersecurity. That means that we've had to be, you know, more nuanced as well in terms of talking about some of these issues.
Yeah, that's an interesting question, actually. And I'm wondering what has influenced your evolving strategy more? Has it been your own company innovation, product development and strategy, or has it been the evolving regulatory landscape, or a balance between those two things? What has been the trigger for your own evolution of your own approach?
I think that, you know, as the business continues to grow globally, I think that means that there is more value for us, as, you know, or it's more important for the business to be contributing to debates around the world, because we have more of a global footprint. But I think that at a kind of more policy and regulatory level, you know, we will often be looking to engage with debates as legislation and other things develop. You know, so for example, in the UK, there is a cybersecurity and resilience bill being developed. If that wasn't being developed, then we would, you know, have less to say about critical infrastructure regulations. And so to some extent, you're also looking at legislation and regulation as it's being developed, and kind of able to offer insight.
So on that note, kind of looking forward about kind of what's coming down the pipe, obviously it's a really rapidly evolving and very kind of fragmenting regulatory landscape. And a ton of, you know, increasing scrutiny on tech companies, on how, on the role, you know, as you said right at the start of the conversation, the role that technology is playing in all of our lives. how do you think things will change? What do you think will be, you know, the importance of those conversations around regulation, engaging the media, kind of taking a public position on these things for tech companies over, I don't know, the next 5 years?
I mean, I think the first thing I'd say is that media is going to change a lot. So I would expect that the role of the traditional media will continue to fragment at the very least. And I think there'll be an increasing importance to things like earned and owned channels like podcasts, like Substack, like LinkedIn. And, you know, as people increasingly get their information mediated by AI rather than a newspaper, also like a question around like, what does the AI say about the issue that you care about? And that will become, I think, more of a question over the next few years. And then I think one knock-on effect of this as well will be that tech policy debates become more global, or at least more global within the English speaking world. You know, so if you think in the last year, like the UK's approach to online safety has become a big issue for the right in the US. And I think that like one reason perhaps for that is, you know, if you look, you know, people like Elon Musk are seeing British political influencers in their feed in a way that they're not necessarily seeing French or German political influencers. And so it is easier for issues to flare up in this way than it might have been the case in a more national focused traditional media world. So I think, you know, we'll see media becoming more fragmented, and the job becoming perhaps less about managing headlines and more around shaping understanding in a time in which I think we would anticipate AI is going to really significantly change economies and geopolitics and a whole range of other things. And a lot of these debates won't necessarily just be seen as tech debates, but they'll be seen as debates about a particular industry or political issue.
It's really interesting you should make that point, because we're seeing exactly the same thing at Taito in our latest Taito Tech 500 influencer report. That's exactly what we're seeing, the rise of this kind of multi-hyphenate influencer, people using multiple different channels to communicate. So I think you're absolutely right in terms of that increasing fragmentation that we're going to see, how influence is built, how people get their news, how people build those sort of trusted relationships. So yeah, really interesting that you are observing that as well.
And on that point, Rebecca, and to your earlier point, I think we could have several podcasts out of some of the discussions that we've had today. We talked about the importance of crafting a narrative for multiple different audiences. We've obviously talked about the importance of that strategy, public and private companies, and right at the end about the public expectations around the rise of tech. So all that remains to be said is thank you very much for a fascinating conversation. Ben Lyons, Senior Director of Policy and Public Affairs for Doctrace.
Thank you for joining us for this edition of Policy Matters, part of the Without Borders podcast series from Taito, the only PR and communications agency built to scale tech companies faster across Europe.